In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, amen. Was looking through the news this morning, as is my habit in the mornings, and I came across a New York Times article that quoted a science fiction writer saying, "These aren't the end times, but it sure as hell feels like the end times are getting in a few dress rehearsals right about now." And I think there is a measure of truth to that, or at least that's the way it feels. It's smoky here and it's fiery to the north and to the west of us and to the south and to the east. It's either humid, wet, and moldy, or wet and exceptionally windy with storm surge. We have had some crazy weeks of weather, and we're relatively unscathed here in the valley, except for watery eyes and scratchy throats. All the while, there are hundreds of thousands of our brothers and sisters who are just trying to get through the day. And I'm sensitive to that. As a part of my practice, I want to keep these geographical regions that are despairing in the forefront of my mind. And I want to do that so that we might be present to them all throughout the course of their recovery, not just in the immediacy of the crisis, but all throughout the course of their recovery. And that's not to mention what's happening around the rest of the world, earthquakes in Mexico, and so much more. And that can be a heavy burden to carry. I'm sensitive to that, and I'm also grateful that we have a church community that helps us both carry that burden and a church community that can help us maximize our response so that we can be effective helpers in the long run, so that we can go the distance alongside people who are forced to go the distance. We have these three remarkable readings from the Bible this morning that's not including the psalm, and I believe that each narrates our experience here in Jackson, Wyoming, finally fall 2017. And I'd like to address each from the Gospel to the Romans to the Exodus reading. I am reminded about the complexity of addressing three passages from the Bible in a single sermon this morning at 8, when this thing before me just sort of fell into pieces and didn't make any sense. But I think that these stories are still important and need to be put together because they can serve as ballast during times of crisis and uncertainty. And I'm incredibly grateful for that, but I also have this sense that in order for them to serve as ballast, we have to have a sense of the running narratives, the themes that run the course of the Bible from the beginning to end. It's not just enough to listen every week in church, because even if you are here listening every week, we're still just getting sound bites from the lectionary. We're not getting the whole of the story, and sometimes those themes can be easy to miss. Repetition helps, and if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, we have the repetition of this phrase in this morning's gospel. Jesus says, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is a wonderful acknowledgement of what's taken place since the very beginning of the biblical story. We remember from Genesis, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female." God is intentional in God's act of creating humankind. In each of us, God created human beings. There is an element, not a whole, but an element of God, some portion of divinity. It's there whether you like it or not, or want it or not. It's there. We are godly. We are. And with that comes power, and with that power comes responsibility. It's not the responsibility like you heard from your mother or your father or your grandmother or your grandfather. It's not a list of do's and don'ts or should'ves or could'ves. With that divinity comes a desire for or a need for a response. A response to the godliness given each of us. We respond to God, and our response is human agency here on earth. Our response isn't a doing. It's not a to-do list. It's a becoming. Becoming the people we were made to be. It's identity work. It's heart work. It's not back or shoulder or hand work. It's heart work. Don't stop listening yet. I know that in a 13-minute sermon, when the theology portion comes along, we tend to drift a little bit, or at least I do, but this is important. Because of what happened in the beginning of this story, because God created humankind in God's image, whatever we bind here on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose here on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, this is a pretty big deal. It's a big, big deal. It's a big deal to be made in the image of God. And so we've got that sitting in front of us here. And we have some sense from this story that we are in charge here. The binding and loosing work that God does here is done through you and me. I'm not saying that God isn't active here, but what I am saying is that we have a part, and we can't fail to do our part. We can't just watch and wait. We listen and act. We listen and we respond. We listen and we respond. We observe and we respond. The binding and loosing work is ours. But what of this binding and loosing work? What is the nature of the work? Well, we know it. It's love. And Paul describes it so beautifully to the church in Rome in this reading that we have this morning, to these new Christians in Rome, new Christians who live in an incredibly diverse and dynamic social, religious, and political context, one not dissimilar from our own. We heard it. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. The one who loves another has become the person that she was intended to be." He goes on, the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the becoming. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, how it is now the moment for us to become the people we were made to be. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. Now we have a real sense of who God is animating us to be in the world. It's time to respond. Paul makes it so plain, and Jesus made it so plain, as the Creator made it so plain in the beginning. But we find ways to make it confusing. We do. Even if it's plain and simple, love your neighbor as yourself. But we make it confusing. I'm not worried about that. When we make it confusing, what do? We just reorient. We reorient back to our original drawings, the original design plan. Oh yeah. Made in the image of God. Built for love. Built for this, fully empowered. What do we need in order to do God's love work in the world? Nothing. We need nothing because we already are what we need. We need absolutely nothing. We were built for this. We already are and have everything we need. Really? Really? We do. We are. Then I have to break the preaching rule again. I've got to go to this Exodus story just for a second here because I love the way that it ties into these two stories together. The story that we have from Exodus is the Passover story. It's one of the most important stories in the history of human storytelling. Really? Really? It is. And I love the way this story instructs us in our orientation to the world. On the surface, the story is talking about how to eat the Passover meal, but I believe it's really about how we orient toward the world. It reads, "This is how you should eat it. Your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in hand, and you should eat it hurriedly." That is the opposite way your mother and your father and your grandmother and your grandfather would instruct you to eat. Yet, it's not about eating. It's about orienting. We could hear it in this way, keeping in mind we are made in the image of God, keeping in mind that our work, our mission, our cause is love, the binding up and loosing of love in the world around us, right around us, and around us, and around us. We could hear it in this way. This is how you who are made in the image of God, should live. You should live dressed and ready to go, shoes on, backpack packed, ready to go, ready to deploy in any area you see that is in need of love, any area absent of love, any hurricane-devastated coast, any wildfire-ravaged ridge, any flooded city, any wind-torn landscape, any city strewn with earthquake rubble, dressed, packed, ready. Any classroom, any living room, any meeting room, any hospital room that is absent of love, go. Don't sit here. Go. Go and love on the people that are in those places. Why? Because that's what you are built for. What do you need? Nothing. You are made for this work. What's the work again? To love your neighbor as yourself. Where? Here. Earth. Wherever there is a pin on a map in Hanson Hall. If you go into Hanson Hall, you will find maps. And you, if you look at those maps, you will see the town of Jackson, the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, the state of Wyoming, the United States of America, and the world. Wherever there is a pin in a map, and in so many other places, there is a need for love. There is a need for the kind of love you were built to deliver. Dressed, packed, ready to roll, St. John's. We were made for this. Who's going? Amen.